Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What would you say about the common perception held by many young people that the U.S. is anti-Muslim?
Oh, that hurts me. That hurts me so much, honestly. I mean, it's a painful perception to hear about, and I deeply regret that anyone believes that or propagates it. I certainly think President Obama has sent a very clear message of respect and appreciation of all religions, and in particular, of Islam.
When you dance, be sure to hold her,
Welcome to the Savage Nation. We open with When You Dance by the Turbans in honor of Hillary Clinton. Yeah, it gets stranger by the day, doesn't it? Respect for all religions, in particular Islam, as though Islam built America. Islam built America. They came over on the Mayflower. It wasn't Christians who came over on the Mayflower. It wasn't Christians who wrote the Declaration of Independence in the U.S. Constitution, but it was Muslims. Just ask Obama and Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, that you can only bend over backwards so far until your spine breaks. What is this supine nature towards Islam? Why does this administration feel it necessary, a day after we found another group of Muslims trying to blow up another airplane, to bend over backwards and tell us another big lie about the wonders of Islam? Welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America, a land where our worst enemies are praised but our allies stiffed. He treats radical Islamists in the Middle East like friends, then stiffs Israel and Western European allies. It's on the back of Trickle-Down Tyranny, the most important book ever written in the history of America. Now a witness to Breitbart's death vanishes. Now, you could say, well, it's just hype, but you know it's really strange? This death follows the suspicious demise of a member of the coroner's team who also died, allegedly of arsenic poisoning. It was posted on WND. I put it up on michaelsavage.com. You could say it's coincidental. And I could say, why was Breitbart's skin reported to have been bright red at death instead of white? Did somebody poison him in that bar? One of the people who saw him last has now disappeared. The demise of a member of the coroner's team, a young man also dead, right after they issued the report that there was no foul play. That's on the top of michaelsavage.com. Next story, big bucks libs, including old George Soros, to focus on illegal aliens and get them to vote illegally. That's Obama's secret trick. That's his October surprise. Cinco de Mayo every day. In other words, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to try to register non-citizens to vote. Now, with regard to Hillary Clinton, Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, and their puppet Obama, catering to the Muslim Brotherhood, you should be very worried indeed. Why is it that the Muslim Brotherhood, a radical, dangerous, aggressive, fascist organization, suddenly, why is this organization in favor with the Obama administration? They were in the White House a few weeks ago. Jerusalem Post reports Muslim Brotherhood vows a global caliphate centered in Jerusalem, the wiping out of all Jews on the earth. Is there a Jew in America who doesn't understand that this is a pro-Muslim regime and that is anti-Zionist, meaning anti-Jewish? When are you going to put two and two together and understand that if you're a Democrat and you're voting for Obama, you're voting for the death of yourself, fool? Now, I've heard it said that the Democrat libs are anti-Zionist, they're not anti-Jewish. Well, Martin Luther King Jr. himself said, make no mistake about it, there's no such thing as anti-Zionism, it's anti-Semitism. You didn't know about that quote, did you? There's a lot of quotes you don't know about that I happen to know to be the truth. Next story on MichaelSavage.com. Will rich people desert the United States if taxes are raised? I don't know. I don't know. Where are they going to go? France? RNC official reports Romney is still deciding his position on immigration. I knew that was coming. I knew Romney was a flip-flopper on immigration because I had lunch, dinner with him 2 years ago in a restaurant in San Francisco. And I brought up immigration very quietly. And he said to me right then and there, he said, oh, that's a tough one, you know, Michael. He said, you see, if I say anything about immigration, I'll be seen as anti-Hispanic. And I said, well, maybe you ought to be seen as anti-illegal immigration and pro-Hispanic. That did not register on Romney's plate. He did like the he did like the food, I'll tell you that. Speaking of food, I figure I'm going to shift now because you had enough politics. I have a loaf of bread in my hand. I'm a big bread eater. My mother was a big bread eater. I know that it's we're living in an anti-carb jihad in America today. Most people who are svelte don't eat anything that's containing any wheat. They're all anti-wheat, anti-dairy, anti-this, anti-that. I don't know what they live on. I think ecstasy and sex. Good luck to them. I myself love good bread. But I've noticed a certain relationship in where you can get good bread in America. And I'm going to throw this by you. I have a loaf of sweet baguette. I went to the market today for lunch. I'm so fed up with restaurants. I'm getting sick in all of them. Then I went to the market and I bought a chicken and a bread for lunch. So I looked at the package because when I'm in Florida, you can't get bread. Bread does not exist in Florida. Maybe Miami, you can get a loaf somewhere. I don't know. You can't get bread in Florida. You can't. And one of the things I love about the San Francisco area, in addition to the weather, is the bread. You get the best bread in the world in the Bay Area, San Francisco area. So, like, this is so tasty, this sweet baguette. You know, I'm not going to read a brand because it's not to promote a brand. But I came up with a quotient, and this isn't something that's going to disturb you. The bigger the liberal quotient, the higher the liberal quotient, the better the bread. In other words, if you go to places in America where there's a lot of libs, coffee is better and the bread is better. If you go to areas in America where there's a very high, super, super conservative quotient, the worst bread and the worst coffee in the world. It's battery acid and white bread. Why is that? Can anyone explain that to me? Now, you think I'm being, you know, like comedic in the political arena, and I am. I am being comedic in the political arena because at a certain point, you have to be comedic in the political arena. But actually, I actually believe what I just said to you is true. It's like asking you yesterday, if you missed the show, I ate in a buffet, an Indian buffet, which I like. And I asked you what the protocol is in the buffet. And in other words, if you've got your main course in a buffet and you went through the buffet line once, and then you want to go back for a second dip on the chicken, you know, the tandoori chicken, but they're already, they're lined up six deep on the rice part. Can you jump ahead and grab the chicken? Or do you have to go to the back of the line? Food is very essential. I mean, it's an essential part of life. So I want to ask you, do you agree with me on the bread, that the higher the liberal quotient, the better the bread and the better the coffee? There's no question. It's true. Because you know you go into geeky, you know, like backwoods areas, you know what you're getting. You're getting one type of coffee. It's battery acid coffee. And if you ask for anything else, they think that you're either a communist or sexually disoriented, right? Or they want to throw you out of the coffee shop. I mean, if you ask for a Frappuccino somewhere in Redding, California, you know what happened to you. Well, let's say you go up into the Sierra foothills and you get off the highway in the wrong place. It's like deliverance. It's like 1949. The people are nice. They listen to my show. But for God's sakes, you can't get bread and you can't get coffee. I myself don't eat sourdough bread. I hate it. I detest it. You know, I know that basically sourdough bread is to Northern Californians what matzah is to Jews. I understand that. It's like a sacred grain. Somehow they think you have to eat sourdough bread if you live in the San Francisco area. I can't stand it. Basically, it was the bread of haste for miners, which is very, very interesting because, like, matzah is the bread of haste for the ancient Israelites, which is an interesting story. You know, one day I'll write an essay on it when I'm very old and I have nothing better to do. But I love bread, and I want to talk about bread for a minute. In fact, I think in my next life I'm going to come back as a bagel baker. No. Have you ever met a baker you didn't like? I have never met a baker I didn't like. There's something about them. Like, if you go there 4 o'clock in the morning, they're usually like, they're just different kind of people. They're covered in like a white dust, like a you know what I mean? There's a dust on them, and they're nice people. They're like, I don't understand it. I think people are attracted to certain professions. You know that, let's put it this way. You don't need lawyers who were bakers. You don't need bakers who were lawyers. No. They're diametrically opposite. In other words, on a scale of human endeavors, on one side you have bakers, on the other side you have lawyers. Right or wrong? Yes. Why am I talking about bread? Because if I talk any more about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and their pandering to radical Islam, stabbing Israel in the back, undercutting the military, stabbing successful people in the back, supporting the deadbeats, I'm going to blow a seal. And I'm not a Navy SEAL. I only have one SEAL left. Speaking of the Navy and SEALs in the Bay, I was looking at a couple of birds through a pair of binoculars on my roof today. I have a little cottage down by the Bay of San Francisco. And I love to look at the SEALs and the birds. I even like seagulls. But it's interesting to me is that there's a pair of little birds have appeared, and they sing all day long, and they've taken over one of the chimneys that even the big seagulls, you know, go on and off. I don't know how these little tiny red-chested birds survive around these monster seagulls that don't kill them. But I noticed something. Here's a pair of birds, a male and a female bird, obviously, because they haven't yet read Cher's Protocols of Sexuality. And they recognize that in order to make an egg, a boy bird has to land on a roof with a girl bird, and they have to hang out for a while for an egg to appear. They have not yet taken on the Chaz book of unreality. So they are on the roof. I watched them, and they're singing. And then one disappears and flies away. And I started to think as I watch them with my binoculars, do you know of any animals in the animal kingdom, which is our best guide to how we should behave in many ways, since most animals are more civilized than most liberals? Do you know any animals in the annals of zoology that go out of their way to not only feed themselves, but let us say give food that they've gathered so desperately for themselves and the young ones and give it away to animals of their same species who do nothing? Do you know of any species that think it's okay for half of their brethren to lay around in the nest and not go hunt for worms? And they're going to bring home worms and split the worm in a half and give it to the bums? That's what socialism is. That's what liberalism is. That's what Obamaism is. They want you to work all day and take half of what you earn and give it to those who lay in their nest all day and do nothing but tote a joint. Get it? That's why I'm talking about bread. It's all about the bread. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Generation. Can you imagine? How did this happen to this country? It used to be beautiful music. What happened? Anyway, this is the favorite song of cardiologists. It's in the Still of the Night by the Five Statins. They ought to play this at the American Cardiology Association by the Five Statins. Did you say it's statin or statin? I think it's statin. Statin. I don't take that stuff. It's poison. Liver killer. Liver killer, muscle fatigue, impotence, brain damage. In other words, the average American. Everyone's on one drug or the other, either an antidepressant or a statin. They can't walk, their hair falls out, they can't make love, but they're definitely going to live an extra 3.5 months. Anyway, no, I was talking about bread before in the Savage Nation, and to me, bread is the staff of life. How we became so screwed up to believe the shysters in the health business to tell you, go on an anti-carb regimen, and people become fanatic. They won't eat bread. They won't eat pasta. They won't eat rice. They look at a label with nothing with carbs in it. Will they eat? Insanity. And then they don't even understand that they're stressing their kidneys because foods that are too rich in protein have high amounts of nitrogen, and your kidneys have to process the nitrogen. It causes tremendous stress on your kidneys to eat such high-protein diets. They don't understand any of this. People who went on that diet or the doctor who slipped on the ice and died, what was his name? That crackpot in New York? Atkins slipped on the ice and cracked his Corolla, God rest his soul. A nut. He pushed a crazy diet. Of course you lose weight if you go on the Air Force diet and you eat steak. I only eat steak, no vegetables. Yes, you'll lose weight and you'll drop dead at the same time. There's no balance in America. Either it's too much meat or it's no meat. Then it's too much bread or no bread. That's why I say the higher the liberal quotient, the better the bread in America. It's absolutely true. In Florida, you can't get bread. Maybe Miami, but Miami's not Florida. Miami is not Florida any more than New York City is New York State. New York City is not New York State. Everyone knows that. San Francisco is not California. San Francisco is an anomaly. It may as well be an iceberg floating off the coast in terms of the average people in the state of California who are hardworking and America-loving, church-loving, family-oriented. San Francisco is the opposite of everything I just said, but the bread is great. That's the thing I can't understand. You can never have it all. You get nice people away from these porn belt areas, and you could die from the lack of cuisine. You can't get bread. You can't get coffee. It's a nightmare. You ask for wine, they got white and red in the restaurant. Even today, yeah, we got that Chardonnay stuff in from the city. Yeah, we just got a shipment up. Unbelievable. Obama worked for the CIA. Yeah, so that's there. That means so what? That's not a big story. Obama worked for the CIA. So what? It means they were ahead of him. So we could give him credit for that. They had the fool, the Al-Qaeda bomber with the underwear they just caught, the heart of the Al-Qaeda plot, was an informant working for the CIA. That's good. They had the moron thinking that he was going to bomb a plane when they gave him the bomb. So that's good for us. It's good. The government did a good job. Let's have a round of applause for the CIA. Now that, thank you. Now that Leon Panetta is no longer at the CIA, they actually stopped the bomb plot. Now he's screwing up the Defense Department. We'll find out what he does there next. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Portland, Oregon. Ben, you're up on the Savage. I have 30 seconds. But Ben, hold on. No question. Am I right where you find a high quotient of insane drug-addicted liberals? The bread is phenomenal. Choices are amazing. Coffee is great. But you can die from the social disease. And the reverse is true. Good people, family-oriented, church-going, the bread you could die from. It's white bread. And coffee that rots your guts out. You can't even drink it. It smells like battery acid. Yes or no? Am I right or wrong? You know I'm right.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, if you can't laugh at the insanity of our political landscape, I mean, you're going to go crazy, right or wrong? I'm working it in. I'm working in the insanity and the lies. Like yesterday, we played Obama in the battleground state of Ohio, which state is not a battleground state, meaning the state they must steal in order for the Democrats to win. And he got up, he had the nerve to say, Obama says we built railroads, highways, the Hoover Dam, touched the moon, unlocked the mystery of the atom. That's why I'm running for president. Here's a man who is anti-railroad, anti-highway, anti-dam, anti-NASA, and anti-nuke. How did they get away with it? How? Because they control the media. How? They got little shills like, I have to name them for you. But thank God for them, or else I wouldn't exist. In other words, if there was an honest man in the major media, there would be no talk radio. Think about it that way the next time you get incensed. If there was one honest man in all of the major media, we wouldn't have talk radio at all. Do you understand how that works? That's a kind of takeoff of what Jesus said. So now that's what I'm saying. I'll tell jokes in the middle, talk about bread. It's the only way to get through a day is to deal with the natch, what you really do. So I happen to love bread. So I started to make some social observations that it's a sickening truth, but it's you have to face it. The higher the liberal community, the number of libs, the better the bread and the better the coffee. And the higher the real conservative quotient, God bless them, you can't eat the bread and you can't drink the coffee. And I don't know why. So that I asked the staff, they came up with this. They said it's because, when it comes to liberals, they're just after your dough. Okay, I'm going to read these now, so then hit the thing, whatever you hit. Okay, the reason that the bread is good in liberal communities is because they're just after your dough. Good, now you're getting the timing. Another one of the guys just said, well, they just go with the grain. One of the other crew members said, well, it's easy to get a rise out of them. whether it was Beowulf or Doug, said most of their ideas are half-baked. And then finally, I think Beowulf said the reason bread is good in liberal areas is because they're very needy. K-N-E-A-D-Y. we do things that cannot be done anywhere else on Earth. And it's done on the moment. Do you realize what it would take a comedy writer to have come up with this skit for one of the goofball jerks on television who don't have a brain between their ears? They just get up there, read this stuff written by much more intelligent comedy writers. Anyway, it's heartbreaking to see what this man gets away with. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And Hillary Clinton, forget about it, like a pox on the landscape. Wherever she goes, she makes an insult out of our existence here. Why would she go out of her way to say that? Well, listen to clip five again.
I certainly think President Obama has sent a very clear message of respect and appreciation of all religions, and in particular of Islam.
Why in particular of Islam, Hillary? Why would we, the United States of America, a nation founded on Christian principles... Okay, well, there's no answer to it. Ben in Portland, Oregon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think that liberals are good with food in a lot of ways because they're more focused upon this world and this life. You know, they don't have to look forward to eternity, and so this life's got to be pretty good. And they do some really nice things.
That is very interesting. No, this becomes a more interesting question. So because they're abject materialists, they focus obsessionally on bread and coffee rather than on their personal. In other words, because they're such degenerates, you mean, that they focus on the little things?
I think what you find is a lot of people who have no eternal hope, but they also are hardworking, and they find something tangible to focus on in this life, and they find, you know, I work in the food industry, and you find a lot of people that they just absolutely, it almost fills the role of religion in their lives to produce great things, great food.
Oh, that becomes their religion, making good bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. It's a fascinating topic. That's something that a sociology student can write an essay about. Someone will rip off the whole idea. Very good. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because it's the best book ever written, Crushing Obama's Dream of the... I can't even say his name anymore. Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. You know, I think the only way he can win again is if he changes his last name. If he Americanized his name, he might have a chance of winning this time. You know, instead of Barack Obama, it could be like Barry Olbermann. Barry Olbermann. He could claim he's the son of the guy thrown off television for vomiting on himself underneath the desk. What else do you want to talk about? Liberals. You saw the news on the CIA guy. Big deal. That means that the government did the right thing. That's very good news. Did you see what they did to a church in Santa Cruz, California? I'm afraid to read it to you. You'll get sick. Beowulf, did you send it to me? I don't know if I can even read the story. It got me so upset, I didn't know what to do. Where is this? I didn't get it. They trashed the church in Santa Cruz, California. They spray painted horrible things on it, a Catholic church. And then they took an item that was put there in the 1700s by Junipero Serra. Astounding. The police have the surveillance tapes, and they have not yet made any arrests. Now, Santa Cruz is the epicenter of psychotic anti-Americanism, and it all comes out of the fount of insanity called the University of California at Santa Cruz. UC Santa Cruz is the worst school in the United States of America. It exists only to hate America, hate the family, hate the patriarchy, hate the military, hate the police, and hate the church. And you know and I know that this was done by some of the Occupy students, promoted by the professors. And the police really have an obligation to society to make an arrest. I would hope the FBI enters this case. This is not a local story. This is a hate crime. Santa Cruz Church vandalized, historic font broken. You got to see the story. It'll make you sick. You don't have to be Catholic to stand up for Catholicism when Catholics are under attack by these vermin, do you? This is the equivalent of Kristallnacht on a small scale against Catholics this time. Kristallnacht, if you may remember, was when the Nazis went crazy in Germany and smashed up synagogues. Horrible beginning to the Holocaust. Now you have the occupiers, in other words, all the Obamaites, all of those who are supported by Obama, the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, who supported the Occupy movement, these vandals are now loose in the land like vampires, and they spray painted on this Catholic church the true evil. We all have heathen blood. They defaced the entire church. A stone baptismal font in the garden which Father Junipero Serra brought to the original mission in 1791 was spray painted with the word evil and knocked over and broken. Two statues of Junipero Serra and the Virgin Mary were covered in paint. This is a hate crime. It's a small scale Kristallnacht in America against the Catholic Church. The police in Santa Cruz should make an arrest by tonight or the FBI should be called in, yes or no? You want me to just talk about bread? You want me to tell you what's really going on underneath your nose? Because we have an anti-American president who has actually taken the side of the Occupy movement, just as he took the side of the murderers who are killing people and beating people up all over America under the guise of the Trayvon Martin case. Remember what he said? If I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. Well, if you actually saw the report from Reuters later on, it turned out that Trayvon Martin was a real troublemaker. There was vandalism in the neighborhood. And this kid who allegedly killed him in cold blood was defending his own life. I haven't heard an apology from Al Sharpton, the rabble-rouser out-of-state manipulator who should be arrested by the FBI for flying in from out-of-state to incite a riot. Where's the FBI in that case? Nah, not when you need them. Not when you need them. Not when you need them. New York City, Dominic, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, it has to do with the water and the liberalism. You find out, I think it's the mineral content or the antidepressants, one of the two that makes bread taste so good.
You think they're sprinkling antidepressants into the bread?
Well, they may just be in the water since everybody excretes them.
No, but it's true. It's true, Dominic, that the bread is better in very liberal areas. I mean, New York City has phenomenal bread, doesn't it?
Excellent.
But yeah. And you know the bread's not made by conservatives.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. And the food industry is largely a very liberal industry, isn't it? It's almost dominated entirely by super left-wingers for some strange reason. And maybe the guy touched on it earlier. I don't want to beat the point up. But maybe when you're not thinking of the next world and you're not thinking of eternity, you do focus more on this world. But I don't know that that's 100% true, because maybe it's true in some cases. But look, let's look at the great art of the world, going back to the Middle Ages, right? Look at the Renaissance art. It was all Christian-inspired art, and it was all funded by the church. So, you know, it doesn't hold up. I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not you're religious or think of the next world. It was an interesting theory for the moment in the graduate school of the Savage University, but I don't think it holds up. So here we are. Here we are. It's a terrible day in America. Really, it gets worse. As you can see, I'm trying not to get depressed and angry. Hillary talks about how pro-Islam the U.S. is. Astounding. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta on the latest terror plot. No one's asked him, has he stopped flying back to Monterey every weekend at this grotesque cost. James Hoffa, the superb individual of the Union of Union fame, the same man who said, let's take out the Tea Parties, take him out, which, by the way, was a battle cry on one hand. And when he said, let's take him out, that's a physical threat. The FBI should have investigated him as they did his father. But the Teamsters president, James Hoffa, says Mitt Romney, well, listen to this yourself in clip 13 and 14.
He's very dangerous. He's a man that wants to roll it back. Unfortunately, I don't think he has any values. You see, he vacillates on everything.
Turn him off. Jimmy Hoffa says Romney has no values. You mean James Hoffa has values? Can you tell me what James Hoffa's values are? Can anyone listening to this show tell me what James Hoffa's values are? Tell me, what are the values of James Hoffa? And who's more dangerous, James Hoffa or Mitt Romney? And I hope that James Hoffa continues to attack Mitt Romney in this despicable manner, because he's only going to drive more people to vote for Romney. So keep it up, Mr. Hoffa, All you're doing is showing people why we must vote for Romney and not vote for your stooge, President Obama. Never before in American history have we seen anything like this. Never. After all the years of America knowing about union corruption, all the years, 30 years of the U.S. government breaking union corruption, now we have union corruption back supported by the government itself. Explain that to me. How did that happen? How is it that America understood union corruption? Go all the way back and take a look at it. The whole history of it. Now we have unions in the White House in the unions. Explain that to me. State of California, Jerry Brown, the most anti-business governor in the history of the state. A survey was just done of the top CEOs in America. California came out as the last state in America any CEO wants to do business in. They said government needs to be cut in half. Under Jerry Brown, they said business is seen as a parasite that must be supported. A parasite that must be tolerated but never supported. Tax them to death. Regulate them to death. Send one moron out of the universities after another to throw red tape in the way of anyone who wants to start or run a business. That's Jerry Brown, a union stooge in the state of California. The worst governor in the history of the state. The most anti-business governor in history, in the history of California. Now, we just saw a socialist elected in France. One of his platforms was that he wanted to add 45% to the income tax of the average Frenchman. Jerry Brown wants to do the same thing in the state of California. Do you know that we pay 11% state income tax, those high earners in California? And if you're a high earner in California, you pay 10% state income tax. Then you kick in another 1% for some garbage lie about mental health subsidy. So it's 11%. Now Jerry Brown wants it to be 15%. So Jerry Brown wants to raise the state taxes exactly the way the socialist wacko academic does in France, by another 40%. And no one reports it in the news media. Now you understand why I'm banned in Britain and banned in San Francisco. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's another breaking news story. You know, Iran is racing to build a bomb to kill as many Jews as they can, which, of course, is why the Obama administration has suddenly warmed up to the Iranian government. So the IAEA goes over there to supposedly inspect the atomic, program in Iran. The International Atomic Energy Agency sends an inspector over. He's from Korea. And he's killed today in a car accident. Iran car accident kills IAEA atomic inspector. A South Korean expert from the IAEA was killed in a car accident during a tour to inspect nuclear facilities. So they killed him. You hear this? And the useless UN tells us to give everything back to the Indians. It has nothing to say about Iran, nothing to say about the murder of the South Korean, nothing. Unbelievable. Who were the drivers involved in the so-called accident? Beyond belief. Beyond belief. I guess threats from Iran to wipe Israel off the map don't count to the vermin in the UN. Maybe the UN should be thrown out of the U.S. If I were president, the first act I would commit by executive order, the first act would be I would dismember the United Nations and throw them out of America. I'd let them go to France where they belong. In fact, let them go to Libya or Egypt or Syria where they belong, because their mentality is basically the same as those countries. What are they doing in the United States? The enemies of this country are sitting right in New York City, going out with hookers at night, eating in the best of restaurants, snorting drugs. And we got to put up with these bums? I would turn the UN the UN building into a homeless shelter. That way everybody wins. The poor, unfortunate people in New York City who don't have housing, I'd give them an apartment in the United Nations buildings with all the furniture. I'd run them out of the city as fast as they could. They wouldn't even be able to take a briefcase with their drugs and the money in it. I'd make them leave their briefcases behind for the homeless. Hartford, Connecticut. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I want to talk about the church vandalism.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think about that, Mr. Savage, and I don't think you can bring a clause of hate toward the crime that happened. I think you can only... justify vandalism.
Well, let's say someone attacks a religious institution and spray paints anti-religious messages of that religion. That's a hate crime, isn't it?
I don't think we can direct a hate crime because we all have hatred. You know, God.
No, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't write the hate crime laws. I don't think they should exist, but they do exist. Unfortunately, they're only enacted when it's a white person committing a crime against a minority. Rarely in the other direction are they ever enacted. But let us say, God forbid, a mosque was attacked and spray painted with such words. Wouldn't that be considered a hate crime? Let's say somebody attacked a synagogue and spray-painted an anti-Jewish message. Wouldn't that be considered a hate crime? You wouldn't stop hearing about it from the ADL, would you? From morning till night, all you hear about is a hate crime against Jews if someone spray-painted a swastika on a synagogue, right? So if somebody does the same to a Catholic church, it's a hate crime, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you. So I'm right. Therefore, the FBI should be called into Santa Cruz. Don't leave it to the doofus police in Santa Cruz, California, who basically are not capable of investigating this crime. They're probably going to lose the surveillance tape before the night is out. I insist the FBI be called into Santa Cruz, California, to investigate the vandalism of that church. How's that? A lot of effect it's going to have in Governor Brown's state. The man who let the Occupy movement stop ship traffic in the Oakland port. The governor who was too busy eating bread and cheese at the Getty's house to even stop the protesters who blocked shipping in the state of California. That's a man not fit to be a governor. That man's not fit to be a baker. That man's not fit to be a barber. That man is not fit to be a candlestick maker. And yet he's in charge of a state larger than most nations. How did this happen? Say illegal alien. Say union. Say the people are asleep. In the once great golden state, now ruled the worst state in America to do business in by the top CEOs of the United States of America. It's France on the West Coast.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
He's very dangerous. He's a man that wants to roll it back. Unfortunately, I don't think he has any value.
I think we'll take out Scott Walker because he's had billions of dollars come in from big oil interests, people like the Koch brothers. They've brought things in, and he is still very, very unpopular.
So the unions now are saying things such as, we'll take out Scott Walker. To me, that's a threat to Scott Walker's life by AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka. This is the same Richard Trumka who said, we're going to take out the Tea Party. Now he's saying we'll take out Scott Walker. Where is the J. Edgar Hoover of our time? Where is J. Edgar Hoover now that we need him? Where there's no civility, there's just thuggery emanating from the White House and the unions, which have become one and the same. That's really the question today. New York City, WOR. Matt, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm sorry, I'm just cooking some dinner for my family. I agree with you. I'm what I would call a new age union gentleman that I think we should just absolutely be refaced. We need to step up to the times, and I believe that we all need to take a
The heads of your unions are like Neanderthals. They're a throwback to the 1940s or 1950s. Everything America got rid of has come back like a virus. There's nothing wrong with a union. I've been a member of several unions in my life. Frankly, I was not treated that fairly. I found them to be anti-worker, to be very frank with you. I found management always worked with the owners rather than with the workers, to be very frank with you. And when I needed this teachers union, they stabbed me in the back. But nevertheless, unions have, by and large, done some good things for workers in this country. I recognize that. But we have evolved through the 1950s, and now we have smokestack retrograde throwbacks running the unions, and they're in the White House.
And that's where I disagree with it, sir. I disagree with that. I don't agree with where my money and my union dues have gone. I love to work. I work hard. I work for my family, and I don't agree where some of my money is going. Without asking me, they're giving it towards these pieces of garbage that are totally off the beaten path.
All right. Well, I wish you could do something about it, but you're a lucky man to have a family to cook for, and you're going to be even luckier right now because you're getting something. If you can name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Oh, first, I'm cooking some food right here.
No, sorry. If you can name my book, you get a free copy.
Trickle Down Tyranny. Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay, then you do win a copy. Yes, we do have a winner. The one book necessary to crush Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. The one book that you can carry around with you from now to Election Day like a personal billboard, educating and shocking everyone around you. As you walk by, people are going to say, who is that man? Who is that woman? What is that book? What do you mean trickle-down tyranny? What in the world is that book about? If you could find one mistruth in my book, I'll refund your money. If you could find one lie in my book, I'll refund your money. No, you won't find any of that. This book is the most important book from now until the election. It's our last chance to stop the complete takedown of the United States of America. You talk about taking out Scott Walker. If Obama wins again, him and his union thugs will take out America. They'll take out America. There'll be nothing left for any of us. Waco, Texas. Some call it Waco. I call it Waco. Curtis, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, just want to let you know, there's a lot of my gun dealer friends here in Texas that refuse to do business with California, too. We'll just refuse. We'll not do it.
Well, again, the top CEOs of America voted of the states best to do business, and Texas was number one. California was the worst. This was once the Golden State. But when you realize that we elected a throwback, anti-business, anti-American, anti-church, anti-family, pro-union man named Jerry Brown, who has wrecked the state's economy, who now wants to raise income tax on the most productive class of Californians by 45% to 50%, you can understand the agony people are in the state and why businesses are leaving in droves.
Yeah, that's it's terrible. I mean, it's
terrible. It's absolutely terrible. The only thing good about the state is the weather. It's got the best weather in the United States of America and excellent bread in certain pockets of liberalism. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. That's right. Unfortunately, the quotient still holds up. The higher the liberal quotient, the better the bread and the better the coffee. I don't know how that works. Like, you know, in Waco, Texas, you can't get good bread and you can't get good coffee, but you get good people. So where you get good people, you get bad bread. Where you get good bread, you got bad people. Like in Berkeley, you probably have a bakery on every street corner making fabulous bread, but would you want to live there? No. Most people in Berkeley would like to leave, but they're prisoners. They can't get out. They're not allowed over the bridge except with a special pass from Jerry Brown. Oh, goodness. Stocks fall as Greece struggles. Stocks fall because of the socialist who just got elected in France, who's a twin for Jerry Brown and Barack Obama. You see, I keep repeating to you, the guy in France wants to raise taxes on the productive class by 40%, 45%. Jerry Brown is trying to pass a measure to raise taxes on the most productive Californians by 40%. He wants 15% state tax. Do you have any idea what that's going to do to people in the state who actually do things, make things, create jobs? They're going to leave the state. Who's going to be left? Illegal aliens? Who's going to be left in the state? Union workers, teachers, and illegal aliens. And who's going to fund the tax base, Jerry? Boston, Massachusetts. Lorraine, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm so pleased to be talking to you. I bought your book. I was so excited. I got the book, and my son came to visit, and I hadn't had a chance to read it yet, and I gave it to him, and he's a young man who's sort of liberal-leaning, and I'm very conservative. And he read the book, and he told me that he was so impressed by this book, and he said he started seeing a lot of my points. Points that I couldn't verbalize, whatever he saw
Well, look, that's the point. I am paid to verbalize for my audience and for millions of others the ideas they have, the thoughts they have, that they can't formulate them. They don't have the time. But that's what I do for a living. And I put a great deal of my mental energy into this book. And I think it's the best book I've ever written. I believe it's the last nonfiction book I'm ever going to write in the field of politics. And it's the one book that can stop the reelection of this Marxist in chief.
Well, I'm so thankful.
So you don't have the book anymore? You gave it away?
I gave it to my son, but it was worth.
All right, well, you got a free copy. Just you don't even have to say it. That's all. That's all. You know, I'm reluctant to read from the book, not because it's old and boring, but because it's new and refreshing. I'm afraid to shock you. So I'll read you one paragraph. Advice to the next president, The Savage Worldview. This is meant for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney should read this book if he wants to be elected. Mitt Romney needs to read this book, and he needs to go on some conservative shows, not on The Savage Nation because he's not welcome here. I don't want him on the show. So you can write that down. I don't want Mitt Romney on The Savage Nation. I don't need another double talker. Yes, I'm going to vote for him. I don't want him on the show. Let him go on some lesser shows. I really don't care. But this is a book that will give Mitt Romney the ammunition he needs to perhaps show some spine and some fire. I'm going to read you something that you may not know. Obama's economic policies have caused such an enormous rise in the price of the necessities of life that his administration has removed energy and food prices from its financial analysis in order to avoid telling the American people just how bad inflation is. Did you know that? Did you know that the inflation rate that you're reading about is false because the Obama administration removed energy and food costs from the financial analysis? Because if they were put back in, the inflation rate would be closer to 15 to 18%. Number two, the U.S. Navy, page two, our primary military force in the 21st century, has the smallest number of ships we have had since the end of World War I. Now, Mitt Romney quoted that line, by the way. I'm proud to tell you that one of his speechmeisters stole it from me, but that's good. In 1918, our Navy was comprised of 774 ships. It's down to fewer than 300 today. Bill Clinton decimated our military forces during the 1990s. And under Barack Obama, the problem is getting worse. Now, I could go on. I'm not going to read you any more facts. They're hard to remember. On a commercial radio show, you can read the book yourself. It's in every bookstore in the United States of America. Taxation without representation. Does that ring a bell with you? Obama's Leninist tactics continue with the seizure of American wealth, though his method of seizing property is less direct than Lenin's. How's that for writing? Is there a word of that statement that's false? No, there's not a word of that statement that's false. It's all true. It's all true. That's all. Which is why Rush doesn't talk about the book. Which is why Fox News won't have me on the show, because it's all true. That's even though I defended Big Brother. In Trickle-Down Tyranny, I actually go to bat and defend Big Brother Murdoch. And yet Murdoch, through his stooge, the leprechaun, uses his shillelagh to make certain that nobody ever mentions Michael Savage. I could care less. It's their loss, not mine. All it's done is diminish their impact on America. Because the true conservatives, the Tea Parties, know what Fox has become. Everybody knows it. It's a watchword now. They're the CNN of our time. So let's play a piece of rock and roll so I calm down. It's only my second day back from sick leave and vacation. Yesterday I had a nice time talking about the toys I bought and surfing already up in the air. So I don't know what to play. A Teenager in Love, that's not me. Blueberry Hill, that's not me. I just got a new pair of pants. Eddie, My Love, oh. Bebopalula by Gene Vincent, not in the mood. Willie and the Hand Jive, no, that sounds dirty. Dream Lover, Bobby Darin, nah. For Your Precious Love by Jerry Butler, maudlin. Mr. Lee by the Barbettes, nah. Just a Dream by Jimmy Clanton, nope. Tears on My Pillow by Little Anthony and the Imperials, nope. Put Your Head on My Shoulder, Paul Anka, no, sounds like Head and Shoulder Shampoo. Maybe by the Chantels. Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Yes, Frankie Lyman, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers right now on the Savage Nation. Why do fools fall in love?
Why do fools fall in love? Why do birds sing so gay?
What a song. Look how we've gone from this to a rap singer rubbing his crotch with his pants falling down with gold teeth. Can you imagine what this country has become, a degenerate nation? New York State. New York State just banned mixed martial arts. Can you believe it? All the punk cowards in the state legislature. That's too violent for them. But gangbangers running around with their pants hanging down with AK-47s isn't too violent for Sheldon Silver in New York State. That he has nothing to say about. Big, brave Sheldon Silver of the New York State Assembly. He's banning mixed martial arts. Too violent for the people of New York. But gangbangers are not too violent. Outside agitators, riot causers, that's not banned in New York City or New York State by Seldom Silver. Seldom Silver. Hi-o, Silver away. Look how we degenerated. I mean, rock and roll used to have lyrics. It was about love. It was elevating women to putting women on a pedestal. Look what they've done to the music and to women and the family, all under the guise of multiculturalism and fairness. Take a look at your country, fool. Take a look at who's dancing in the White House. Take a look at who Obama invites in there and turns it into a degenerate cesspool. Everywhere you turn around, another cesspool occurs in the East Room. But you're not allowed to see it. That's not broadcast by the stooges on ABC, CBS, and NBC. The Pravdaites, the Izvestaites. You're not allowed to see the bums that he invites into the White House. The lowest anti-American vermin. I'll be right back before I really say something I regret. In Massachusetts, you have Scott Walker, a moderate, very, very moderate, middle-of-the-road Republican who replaced the boozer Ted Kennedy. And that's not good enough for the unions who say we're going to take him out. So now he's facing re-election, Scott Walker, and he's running against a woman named Elizabeth Warren. Who's Elizabeth Warren? Some unknown Harvard hack, another law professor who was granted admission based upon affirmative action. She claims she was Native American. So for a quarter of a century, this Elizabeth Warren said that she's a Native American. So now she's running against Scott Walker, and she's asked to provide her evidence of her ancestry. So she says, well, we had high cheekbones. That's what she started with. Because we had high cheekbones, we're Indian. So that was seen as racist, so she retracted that. Now the professor, another Harvard professor, points to an unsubstantiated claim on an 1894 Oklahoma Territory marriage license application by her great-great-granduncle, William J. Crawford, that his mother, O.C. Sarah Smith Crawford, Ms. Warren's great-great-great-great-grandmother, was a Cherokee. So the story is researched by Michael Patrick Leahy, and here's what he says. No evidence supports this claim. Her story is just fiction. And she goes into the whole detail. The woman is listed as not Cherokee, white in the census of 1860, likely half Swedish and half English, Scottish, or German, blah, blah, blah. But now it gets even better. The most stunning discovery about the life of O.C. Sarah Smith Crawford is that her husband, Ms. Warren's great-great-great-grandfather, was apparently a member of the Tennessee militia who rounded up Cherokees from their family homes in the southeastern United States and herded them into government-built stockades in what was then called Ross's Landing, now Chattanooga, Tennessee, the point of origin for the horrific Trail of Tears, which began in January of 1837. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with everything. Because just like Obama, who was a faker, this Elizabeth Warren is a liar and a faker as sure as I'm sitting here. Another phony in Harvard Law School, just like the president, claiming she's an Indian when her true heritage comes out to be the opposite, where her ancestors were involved not as Native Americans, but in chasing Native Americans out of their homeland. How do you like that story? You like that story? Another fraudulent left-wing liberal from Harvard University who got caught with her dirty skirts? It's time for Elizabeth Warren to acknowledge the truth of her ancestry, to apologize to Native Americans, to admit she has no Native American heritage, and to be thrown out of Harvard for having lied under the guise of being a minority to get in. It's time to put an end to affirmative action in America.
Savage.
All right, we have breaking news, and it's very good news, and it shows you that the unions are lying, that the Tea Parties are very much alive, very active in America. They just defeated Richard Lugar, who has been a Republican rhino senator forever. Lugar, age 80, just lost in the primary to treasurer, state treasurer Murdoch, M-O-U-R-D-O-C-K, who was backed by the local Tea Party, backed by the NRA, and backed by the fiscal conservative group, the Club for Growth. So a long-term Republican rhino, Richard Lugar, you may remember, see his name, kind of the baggy-eyed guy who plays like a, you know, I can't explain him. I don't have a big facial capacity right now. He just lost in a primary because he was too liberal, not conservative enough, and he lost in a primary. He's now going to face, of course, a Democrat in the general election. We don't know whether he'll win, the new guy, Murdoch. But the big news for you out there is don't give up hope. If you are a member of a Tea Party or was a member of a Tea Party, don't be intimidated by the Black Caucus. Don't be intimidated by Richard Trumka of the AFL who said we're going to take you out. You are an American. You have a right to free assembly. You have a right to join a Tea Party. You have a right to go to a Tea Party meeting. And you have a right to be protected by the FBI, not harassed by the FBI, by having your license plates photographed, as has been reported on this show. Lugar defeated in Indiana primary. It just happened. It's breaking news. Lugar is 80 years old. He's been in the Senate since Jimmy Carter was president, by the way. He lost because the Tea Party, the National Rifle Association, and the Club for Growth put thumbs down on Lugar, and they backed the state treasurer, Murdoch. That's such amazing news. It's very important news, not only for the voters in the state of Indiana, where allegedly Lugar didn't even live. He said he didn't even know where he lived, by the way. That was another big issue, is that he didn't know where he lived. He was also a good friend of Obama. Lugar was a big friend of President Obama. In fact, they went on a trip to Russia, the Ukraine, and Azerbaijan back in 05 together. And Obama has talked with great respect about Richard Lugar, which is his opinion and, of course, his right to do. But that did not help Lugar in the primary. Lugar did not maintain an Indiana residence. He was so disconnected from the state, he didn't even maintain a residence in Indiana. It would be as though I, Michael Savage, ran for the state senate in Wyoming, even though I live in the San Francisco area or in Florida. Imagine if I did that. I want to represent Wyoming to be a senator. Can you imagine that? That's what he was doing. So that's the story. Remember that it's a very big story with tremendous, I think, implications for the general election. And the biggest implication for me on the spot is about Romney. If Romney does not stop acting like Lugar, if Romney does not stop acting like a rhino, if Romney does not step out from behind his advisors who are running him off the rails, they're using him as a fall guy to make sure Obama's reelected, Romney's not going to get elected. He's going to fall again. Now, I told you yesterday in the show that I heard from a person I respect who sort of has his ear to the ground with both parties. He knows everybody pretty high up in the food chain. And he told me that the Republicans have implicated to him they want to lose, they don't want Romney to win, that they do much better when they have someone to point their fingers at, someone like a Democrat president named Obama. And they actually are working against Romney behind his back to undermine him by advising him to toe the line, stay to the middle course. And Romney apparently doesn't even understand what's being done to him. Apparently no one around Romney who he trusts is telling him the truth about his own Praetorian guard who is stabbing him in the back. They're all Brutuses. I've been trying to tell Romney for over 6 months now that his advisors are the very same advisors who shafted McCain. They're running the same exact campaign as McCain ran. You mark my words. As I'm standing here, within a month, Romney comes out and says he's in favor of amnesty for illegal aliens or in favor of the DREAM Act. You wait and see. Watch. That'll be the last blow for him. That'll be the last blow. Maybe Ann could come out in the hijab at one of the hearings to say that we love Muslims. I mean, that could be the next one they could recommend that he does. Lugar defeated in Indiana primary. It's a terrible warning to Romney that if he doesn't get out of the center and start moving to the right, he's finished. and we're going to have Obama. And no matter what we say or do, trickle-down tyranny, you could sell a million copies, it won't stop what's going to happen to this country. Breaking news on the Savage Nation. Longtime Senator Richard Lugar loses Indiana GOP primary to Tea Party NRA-backed rival Richard Murdoch. Big story, major story. If it doesn't wake Romney up, nothing will. It will not do a thing. Nothing will wake him up. Dallas, Texas. Lance, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. It's a real honor to be with you, and I really can't believe I'm speaking to you right now, but you've been basically kind of a father figure to me going on about 8 years. And so I just wanted to give you a call and tell you to stay in there, man, because you really do make a difference in our lives.
Well, I hope I do. I mean, you know, it's a funny thing. I've been in radio for about 18 years, and I run into people who say to me, oh, I grew up in listening to you in my father's car. And these are guys who are 25 years old. I can't believe it. I mean, that's a long time. So the kid was a little kid when he first started listening to me. How old are you, Lance?
I'm 24, and I'm currently in graduate school in two different programs. And, I pretty much listen to you every single day since 2004 during the election when I stumbled upon you.
Well, I understand what it is you go to school and you have no one expressing any American ideas. It's all anti-American ideas. And in order to fit in with the crowd, you can't start espousing your beliefs or you'll get ostracized because the social pressures are so great. So you keep your own counsel and you keep to yourself and you turn on the radio and what you hear is what you think. And then you realize you're not alone because you get callers from around America who confirm that what I'm saying is reality. So you don't feel as isolated, alienated, cut off, right?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I was pretty outspoken and I was very involved both in conservative movements here in Texas. And you really inspired me to do a lot of that. And I don't really want to go into detail about it. But
Okay. So you're an activist. And I'm sending you two copies of Trickle Down Tyranny, one for you and one for your alter ego, whoever it may be. Well, it's big news today. Very, very big news. So I started by talking about bread on the show earlier. And if you just tuned in, and many people tune in at different times. I said to you, I'm a big bread lover. I'm not one of those anti-carb people. Ask anyone who knows me. I could live on spaghetti three times a day. I eat bread. Oh, what are you eating on that bread then? I said, get back to me when you're my age. You know what I mean? You know, get back to me when you're my age and give me a health tip. So my mother loved bread. She lived to 88. God bless her. So here's a bread I just bought today. I'm not going to read the brand. I love it. It's a sweet baguette. I'm going to give you an example. And my point was is that the higher the quotient of liberals, the better the bread. In other words, wherever you go in America, if the community has a high density of liberals, you get phenomenal bread and great coffees. Tremendous variety. But if you go to very conservative areas, terrible bread, terrible coffee. Can't find it. One type of coffee. And usually the worst bread, it's inedible bread. I actually start climbing the walls in Florida. Maybe in Miami there's a bakery. There's enough Jews moved down from New York or something. I don't know. Because you can't get bread in the area that I'm up in Florida. It's impossible. It's all white bread. Even the Italian restaurants, there's a funny thing. I was on an avenue in one of the towns, and I was telling an Italian guy, I can't get a bread. He said, well, we make it. He gave it to me. I bought it at $3. It was horrible. It's just like, popping toast kind of thing. Awful. No taste. So this bread that I have in my hand is delicious. And the guy says, when asked by our customers and friends, what should I do with my leftover baguette the next day? Here are some suggestions. One, pop in the oven, toast it, and spread with your favorite topping. Two, slice into small pieces, let dry, use as croutons. Three, after 3 days of drying, grate and use as breadcrumbs. Four, after 4 days of drying, use to pound nails or add to your rock collection. You have to laugh at that. Because you ever seen bread 3 or 4 days later? It's unbelievable. So you ask yourself, why does bread become so hard after 3 days? Well, obviously, it gets dehydrated. Just as if you get dehydrated, you become hard as a rock, right? To recapture that fresh out-of-the-oven taste, just sprinkle baguettes with water. Here's an interesting one. Place in preheated hot oven, 425 degrees. See, not 350. 4 1/4 for 5 minutes. Eat while hot and enjoy. All right, see, it's 4 1/4. It's not 350. It's important to know. But I want you to study what I just said to you. The higher the quotient of liberals in a community, the worse the bread and the worse the coffee. Check it out. You know it's true in America. Wherever you go, you're going to say, how did Savage figure that out? Well, because I travel and I like bread and coffee. In fact, I just switched coffee brands. For a long while, I was using these beans from Italy. You know, whatever. It's in this machine I bought. So you get the Levada, whatever it's called, that blue bag. Who knows? It wasn't that good. Wasn't that bad. You know, yeah, whatever. Then I started. I know this is sacrilege. I shouldn't admit to it. But I was buying Blonde Roast from Starbucks because their Blonde Roast actually was drinkable. Their general coffee was horrible. Dishwater garbage. Institutional. It was terrible. It was like the Lipton tea, pardon me, of coffee. Starbucks is like the Lipton tea of coffee. No, nothing wrong with it, but it's like basically, you know, generic coffee. So then they came out with the brand. So I started the Blonde Roast. Then I got tired. So now I went and got back like where I started. I went to Safeway. Went to the Mocha Java bean. I got Mocha Java. It does. It tastes different. Totally different. But I ruined it with soy milk this morning. I don't put milk in it because I don't use dairy, but I got tired of the black coffee in the morning. I like almond milk. I tell you that unsweetened almond milk is amazing. Did I tell you about almonds? The theory on almonds and lima beans and apple seeds. You know about that? Did I tell you why it's important to eat those foods? Did you hear all of this or not? I'll give it to you a little health tip in the middle of everything else. And then you decide whether or not it's a crackpot idea, okay? And I'm going to tell you where the theory comes from. All right, lima beans. I happen to love lima beans. You can't get them. No one makes them anymore. They used to be a fairly big staple in the American diet, particularly on ranches and farms. If they're cooked properly, they have to be cooked very soft. Americans have an obsession with not cooking things enough and with eating raw foods, which is crazy. Like sushi. I mean, fish is contaminated. I've known this for 30 years, that raw fish is very often contaminated with small invisible worms. You should know that the next time you want to be ethnically appropriate and look like you're doing something good for humanity by eating Fukushima sushi. I go in a restaurant, I order fish. How would you like it cooked? I said, cooked. The guy look at me. What do you mean? No pink, no red. No cooking school fish, if you don't mind. Cook it the way I like it. Cook it all the way through. Don't turn it into rubber. It's an art. You make it soft, but you cook it all the way through. You got it? Yes, it comes back pink in the middle because it's San Francisco where the bread is good and the coffee is great. They don't know how to cook in this city. Nevertheless, people tend to overcook things wherever you go. Undercook things. So lima beans have to be cooked till they're very soft. All beans should be cooked till they're soft. Now, why are lima beans and almonds and apple seeds healthful? Okay, I didn't say healthy. That's the wrong use of a word. I can't stand illiteracy. So when you read, it's healthy. That means that you mean the seed is healthy? We don't care if it's a healthy seed. It means the seed is healthful. It's full of health for you. Get it? Use the proper word. That thing, you know, whatever item you mean, Johnny, it's healthful, not it's healthy. Because, see what I mean? You want Johnny to be healthy, but you want the thing that he's eating to be healthful so he can be healthy. Let's try to restore America to the pre-Al Sharpton days when literacy reigned, before MSNBC was run by Phil Griffin. All right, so what do these foods contain? They contain small amounts of HCN, hydrocyanic acid. What's hydrocyanic acid? It's a form of cyanide. Oh, savage, why would I want to take cyanide in my body? Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's well known that all of us have cancer cells forever floating around in our bodies. That's well known. Yeah, don't get scared, but a lot of things go on underneath the surface that you're not aware of. It's one of the reasons I always love biology. And one of the things that goes on under the surface that we're not aware of is that your body is constantly monitoring, catching, and killing cancer cells. And when the point is reached where it can't, a tumor develops. I mean, in plain, simple English, that's how it works. So you want to maintain your immune system. You want to make sure your immune system is at its highest level. You don't want to ingest carcinogens. You don't want to smoke cigarettes or marijuana. You don't want to ingest foods that are cooked on a barbecue, that are blackened on a regular basis, etc. Common sense, right? Okay. So if you eat lima beans and apple seeds when you're eating the apple, and again, almonds, I got off on this tangent when I was talking about almond milk, they all contain small amounts of HCN, which is cyanide. So your body has free-floating cancer cells that are always looking to kind of plant themselves in your body. Your immune system is looking to catch them, encapsulate them, dissolve them, or whatever your systems might be doing to that particular cancer cell. Cancer cells metabolize at a faster rate than the average human cell. In other words, they need more oxygen than the average cell. So when you circulate small amounts of cyanide or HCN in your system, in your circulation, in your bloodstream, however you want to put it, what you're doing is you're actually starving the cancer cells, which, again, are looking for more oxygen than your regular cells. they're ingesting some of that HCN, and since they're more sensitive to oxygen deprivation than average cells are, the nascent cancer cells die off. That's the theory. It is based upon the Laetrile theory of anti-cancer therapy, which was popular on the West Coast in the 60s and 70s, never truly disproven. But on the other hand, the Laetrile theory of anti-cancer therapy, although itself may have been somewhat suspicious, is based upon excellent science, based along the lines of what I just told you here on the Savage Nation. Another health tip from Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So basically the message is eat your lima beans, and Johnny Appleseed was right. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The big political news today is that Lugar, a rhino, lost in the primaries in Indiana to an individual who was backed by the local Tea Party and by the National Rifle Association and the Club for Growth. That tells you that Romney is going to lose unless he stops listening to the advisors who are shafting him, destroying him, running him off the rails. Now, unless Romney knows this, and I don't think he does, I genuinely think that he's such a good man and so honest, I don't even think he could accept the fact that people who are working for him would be stabbing him in the back. I don't believe the man has any guile in him. I think he's that good a person. I had dinner with him. I don't think he fooled me. I think what you saw is what you got. I think he's a fine man. He may be too good for the job, frankly. In other words, he's not a good enough liar to be president. But the fact of the matter is, he's got to listen to people like me who are warning him he is going to be set up for a fall. He is being set up for a fall by the Republican National Committee. They're going to shaft him. If they convince him to come out in favor of the DREAM Act, which is backdoor amnesty, it's the end of the election. It's over. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Hispanic this, Hispanic that, Hispanic. The country is 68% European American. What happened to the white man? What happened to the white woman? What happened to the European voter? What, we don't count? We're not here? We disappeared because there's a flood of illegal aliens living in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and Houston? We're supposed to suddenly throw our country into the garbage for citizens, for people who are not even citizens, who are not allowed to vote? If we had a legitimate nation, they wouldn't be allowed to vote, right? They're not allowed to vote. So why is he pandering to people who are here illegally? Explain that to me. Why are they bending over backwards for people who are here illegally, who destroyed our school system and our hospitals? In plain English. In plain English, it's why our schools are broken. Bilingual education. Bilingual education. How much does that cost every state? And why should there be bilingual education? I live in America, not Mexico. The other day, there was Cinco de Mayo, big deal, a celebration about a defeat in some battle in Mexico 100 or so years ago. Or was it 150 years ago? And a little Mexican kid goes running down the street waving in a Mexican flag. And I watch him go by, screaming, Viva Mexico, Viva Mexico. So I look at the kid and I think, all right, he's just a kid. What does he know? And I say, how sad that his parents live here, living off the fat of the land, probably a gardener's child by what I can figure out, invited to the big white party they were having in the neighborhood to show how liberal they were. They invited the gardener and his children. Oh, let's have an ethnic to the party, dear. Since it's Cinco de Mayo and really we want to just get drunk, why don't we have some real Latinos here? Well, who do we know is Latino? Well, the gardener. Let him bring his children, too. Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of tofu for the kid. So the poor kid runs down the street, and I say, how sad that the parents are living here off the fat of the land, and they don't even give the kid an American flag to run down the street with. But then again, it's one man's opinion. And I didn't want to sound too much like Clint Eastwood in that movie to my own self, so obviously I didn't say anything. I just sort of turned around and shook my head, and I said, it's a sad state of America, isn't it? But that's where we are. Why are they pandering to the Hispanic voter? Are they special? Are my four-fifths a man? I, the descendants of a European American, am I four-fifths a man? You don't pander to me? You don't care what I think, a conservative white male American? Why not?
Seven.
Warning.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hey, you need to listen to some of this audio, including Mitt Romney, after a supporter brought up the idea of Barack Obama being impeached for treason.
We have a president right now that is operating outside the structure of our Constitution. I do agree he should be tried for treason. But I want to know what you are going to be able to do to help restore balance between the three branches of government and what you're going to be able to do to restore our Constitution in this country.
As I'm sure you do, I happen to believe that the Constitution was not just brilliant, but probably inspired. I will respect the different branches of government if I'm fortunate enough to become president.
Now listen to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton being asked if the U.S. is anti-Muslim.
What would you say about the common perception held by many young people that the U.S. is anti-Muslim?
Oh, that hurts me. That hurts me so much, honestly. I mean, it's a painful perception to hear about, and I deeply regret that anyone believes that or propagates it. I think the way the United States demonstrates respect for religions of all kinds, and particularly gives people from every religious faith the opportunity to participate in our society, is an important statement of our beliefs and our values.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to listen to Teamster President Jimmy Hoffa, who said, let's take out the Tea Party, now saying that Mitt Romney is dangerous. Who's more dangerous, Mitt Romney or Jimmy Hoffa Jr.?
He's very dangerous. He's a man that wants to roll it back. Unfortunately, I don't think he has any values. You see, he vacillates on everything. He doesn't stand up and say, this is who I am. He is what the right wing says he is. So he's got to stand up and really be who he is. And he's not going to do that. And he's a dangerous man.
What would labor look like if Romney were president?
First of all, he would come up with national right to work. He said it. He's already out there saying, we're going to take away Davis-Bacon. We're going to take away minimum wage. We're going to take away the things we take for granted in America. That is dangerous. And he would go out with national right to work, and that would be a great threat to all unions in this country.
Now let's go to the favorite website of Michael Savage. It's michaelsavage.com, where borders, language, and culture reign supreme. Top right, now a witness to Breitbart's death vanishes. This follows the suspicious demise of a member of the coroner's team. Now, you may say it's coincidental, but I don't know. What about it? By the way, Breitbart, his skin was said to be bright red when he was dead, which to some indicates foul play in the form of arsenic poisoning. Okay? I mean, something I don't know, really. Do you? Well, I don't know. Who should tell us? Well, I guess the government. They'll tell you the truth. From the Old York Times, big bucks libs to focus on illegal aliens and get them to vote illegally. That's where Soros's money is going, to recruit illegal aliens. They say Hispanics. We know what that means. Code word. The newly found friends of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the Muslim Brotherhood, vows a global caliphate of Islam set in Jerusalem. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for shafting Israel. How any Jew in the world could ever vote for a Democrat is beyond me. Will rich people desert the United States if taxes are raised? Who knows? We never know. An RNC official says Romney is still deciding his position on immigration. Oh, really? You know what that means, don't you? Catholic Church says Australia is suffering a man drought. Wow. It warns women not to be too picky. You mean with all of those Australian swimsuit models? Bill Ayers is saying, help me drive NATO out of Chicago. In a new biography, Obama asks, am I an American? Joe Biden says U.S. was the problem on Iran, as though the problem's over. Court says illegal aliens can't have guns. A so-called lawyer argued that they should have the same rights as U.S. citizens. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Dead dolphins and birds causing alarm in Peru. Don't eat that ceviche. Dolphins die of heroin overdose. This is enough to make you scream. A marine park in Northern Europe, take a guess which country, was rented to rave participants, some of whom threw heroin into the dolphin pen. The dolphins died a horrible death. To me, it's murder. An attorney argues that women should wear hijabs in the courtroom, okay? And we're not talking about who? She argues the 9/11 defendants deserve respect, and women in Gitmo courtroom should wear hijabs. Sharia, anyone? Defense budget cut to the bone while civilian workforce in the Defense Department rises. Did you read the email from the serviceman who salutes Savage? Read it. Was Savage right? Is Obama using the military as a pawn? You must read Trickle-Down Tyranny to find out. Buy it today. Oprah Winfrey. Looks like Oprah Winfrey is in trouble. Her network losses approach $330 million. Well, I mean, with Rosie O'Donnell as a star, what would you expect? A sheik tried to buy a big, expensive Manhattan pad, and he was rejected because he has too many kids. Oh, that's discrimination. John Travolta assailed with male sex accusations. Two of them. Lightning has struck twice against John Travolta. Apparently, he went into massage parlors in a hotel to get a rub down and took the towel off and turned himself over, etc. You can picture the rest of it. Oh, John. Poor John. With all your fame and money. Another one like Al Gore in the massage parlor. It's the best you can do. Mixed martial arts KO'd in New York. The assembly says it's too violent for New York. But killing people in the streets by gangbangers apparently is not a problem. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? What is the latest news? The House is going to vote on cutting funding to states that have stand-your-ground laws. You hear this? A blogger was fired for questioning so-called black studies. Well, you hear this story, what they're actually teaching in so-called black studies. Empty seats are haunting Obama everywhere, but you wouldn't know that. We don't know where Obama stands on gay marriage either. He's flip-flopping. Dow Jones is in the toilet. Democrats say French-Greek votes, good for them. Delta Airlines pull their ads from The Daily Show, good for them. What else is in the news? Hillary without makeup. Bare-faced and respectable. Well, if she goes without a bra, that's the end of it. Here's a funny story, really amazing, to show you how phony the Democrats all are. There's a woman named Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat leftist from Harvard, a law professor no less, who got in on affirmative action claiming she was part Indian, right? Now she's running against the Republican, the moderate Republican who replaced Ted Kennedy, right? She claims that she's part Indian. Well, it turns out that in looking into her ancestry, her ancestors actually rounded up the Cherokees for the Trail of Tears. Can you believe this story? Cher, remember her? The once talented, crazy person. She says she doesn't want to breathe the same air as Romney. Here's a few more stories from MichaelSavage.com. Europe is dying, right along with socialism and Obamaism. The election results yesterday proved that Europe's voters don't know they're committing suicide or don't care. Like lemmings, they're going over the cliff. We may have to bail out Europe. Oh, God. HUD, HUD, gives taxpayer funds to rich Indian tribes. Could the U.S. give up Mount Rushmore? This site is on a list of sacred lands the United Nations says must be returned to Native Americans. And so forth and so on. More of this right here on the one and only talk show in the United States of America worth listening to at this time, Michael Savage. Wait, hang on, before I go. You know that Mrs. S. is going to expect something really special this Mother's Day, right? But this year she got something unexpected, Shari's Berries. They're chocolatey, juicy, huge, fresh, and they're delicious. Who doesn't love chocolate? Who doesn't love strawberries? Say happy Mother's Day to all the moms in your life. I have a special offer for my listeners. Giant dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. That's more than 40% savings. My radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. Get Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. Call 866-FRUIT-02 or visit berries.com.
Savage.
This president took apart the military, starting with NASA. He is destroying us from top to bottom, and he gets away with it. The only reason you're paying attention to the hooker scandal is because you're a lowlife. You're a lowlife whose brain has been destroyed by the media, where all you think about is sex, 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 sex. So since sex is on your mind, because your mind has been destroyed by the vermin in Hollywood and the vermin in the news business who pump the garbage into your brain through the sewer pipes of the media and the sewer pipes of Hollywood, I'll talk about the sex scandal in Cartagena, and then maybe I'll bring you back to all the other scandals, which I point out in Trickle Down Tyranny, dummy. One after the other. Destroying the most advanced space program in the world, the most advanced the world had ever seen. This communist destroyed it with the stroke of a pen. He took out NASA. He put our astronauts on a Russian space shuttle. That is impeachable what he did. But nothing. Major Nadal Hassan, Fort Hood massacre. He didn't occur under his watch, did it? But why hasn't Nadal Hassan been brought to trial? Why? Why is Obama covering this up? Why is Panetta covering this up? Why is Hassan being pushed aside? Why are you not hearing about the Fort Hood massacre? Because you're only caring about sex, 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 and some idiot in Hollywood with her boyfriend, him buying her an engagement ring for 10 days. Brad Pitt buys Angela Jolie an engagement ring. And this is news. Is it no wonder we still have a nation, let alone that we have a nation at all, with this kind of idiocy in the media? 10 days of PR story that useless idiot actor buys that has been, that over the hill has been. Angela Jolie got an engagement ring. 10 days in the news. 10 days in the news. So all you care about is salacious material. That's how brain dead you are. And who does Obama have to the White House over and over again? Do I have to repeat to you the lowlifes that are invited into the White House? Al Sharpton in the National Day of Prayer inside the White House? Do I have to repeat what this man does to the nation's morals every day in the sense of breaking down our morale? Do I have to tell you what he has done to the military in this country? To the budget in this country? You don't want to hear it anymore. I wrote 300 pages with references. You don't want to hear. You don't want to read Trickle Down Tyranny. No, you don't want to read any of that. So we'll talk about the Secret Service story until eventually it seeps out to the general masses of idiots out there. The big blob called America. The big blob called America that stuffs itself with sugar and fat and salt and doesn't know whether it's even a human being anymore. The blob called America that is so drugged up it doesn't even understand what it is anymore. It has almost no human features left inside its soul from what the media has done to it. Because if this tyrant-in-chief is elected again, Junior Doc will become Popper Doc as sure as I'm sitting here. And he's liable to eliminate term limits. He will be president for life. You say, come on, Savage, he couldn't do that. You don't even know what this man is doing by executive order. Every day he's signing executive orders, stealing more and more power. Every day this man smiles and behind the scenes, in the middle of the night, signs executive orders. And the Republicans sit there like punching bags, like dummies. And where's Romney? Find Waldo. Where's Waldo Romney? Where is he? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? Who is Romney? What is Romney? Where is Romney? Who is Romney? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? How is Romney? Who is Romney? Find Waldo. Find Waldo. See what Waldo has to say about the Secret Service scandal. See what Waldo has to say about NASA. See what Waldo has to say about the Fort Hood massacre. See if you can get Waldo to say anything. Would you rather I give you a meatball recipe? Make me laugh, Mike. Mike, tell me a funny story about you wearing dead man's pants, Mike. Mike, why don't you talk about Teddy? Mike, why don't you talk about shoes. Mike, why don't you talk about fishing? Mike, tell me about your boat. Is that what you'd like to hear? I could do that. I could do it very well. How about some lifestyle questions? I'm not going to do it. I just don't have the mood for it. I mean, we're like at the last minutes here of this country. You don't see it. I see it. I see Obama and how he's destroying the U.S. military. I wrote chapter after chapter about it. Why do you care about the military? Why do you care about the Fort Hood massacre? What do you care about any of that stuff for? What do you care about if she's dating and who she's not dating and who bought who an engagement ring and what Murdoch puts into your brain? The sewer pipe that comes out of Murdoch's factories goes right into your mind, and then he covers it up with Wallbanger and Leprechaun to make you think that it's a serious outfit. Taxation without representation. Let us talk about taxation without representation. Every schoolboy learns that that's what caused the American Revolution. Taxation without representation. Really? Obamacare includes tax hikes for Medicare payroll tax, health savings account withdrawals, companies that manufacture medical devices, people who suffer from serious medical conditions and itemize their medical expenses on their tax returns. They're all getting a tax hike. People with special needs children, hack tax hike. Retirees who get drug benefits as part of their pensions, tax hike. Charitable hospitals, tax hike. Companies that develop new drugs, tax hike. Health insurance, insurers, tax hikes. See, eventually, if you let this dictator get away with his lame-brained university mentalities, ideas, we will have health care as they have in Cuba, where you have unqualified doctors, dirty clinics, and no drugs for the average person. That's called confiscation. That's what Obamacare is, taxation without representation. And it's all based upon one thing and one thing only. It's based upon graft and corruption. I mean, when you finagle something that's liable to turn into one quarter of the American economy under the guise of, you know, extending health care to all, tell me how many contracts have been given to various and sundry congressmen and senators, friends and cronies. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back. Savage. Is Facebook now a child predator playground, as some are saying? Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this disturbing story is Chelsea Schilling, who's a staff writer and commentary editor for WND. Chelsea Schilling, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you today.
So give my listeners some background on this very, very disturbing story.
This is a crisis. It's a crisis I've been elbow deep in for 2 months. And trust me, it'll get to you when you're a parent seeing these images. Just to be clear, these photos aren't cute little naked babies sitting in a bathtub. You know, these photos, many of them are uploaded to Facebook by cell phone of children naked, having sex, and in many cases, photographed and videotaped having sexual intercourse with adults. How do I know they're children? Well, they aren't sexually mature. In almost every case, the photos I reported to the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in Facebook were of children younger than 12 years old, including a few of toddlers and a young baby. During my investigation, I actually went out and created several alias Facebook profiles of women who appeared promiscuous, bisexual, and overtly flirtatious. Then I checked profiles for common indicators of pedophile interest, such as the book Lolita, the movie 13, fan groups for incest, PTHC, which is preteen hardcore pornography, and receiving nude pics. And one by one, I friended some of the most wicked and dangerous criminals on Facebook. You know, these guys and gals, they trade photos and videos of themselves sexually abusing their victims. They build these huge albums of abuse, and they get some real positive feedback from other pedophiles just like them on Facebook. They get validation. It's a sort of street cred, I guess you could say, and they use these photos as a type of currency. Here's an important side note, though. One thing I found was that these pedophiles have two kinds of friends. They friend people just like them who abuse kids and upload photos. It serves as validation for their sexual deviancy, but they also friend America's underage kids on Facebook randomly. In most cases, the child porn albums I found were available to the public, and I found them very easily. Once my so-called friendship with these pedophiles was approved, I pretty much instantly had access to albums filled with more child pornography. During my investigation, I discovered more images than I ever imagined, entire rings of photo traitors and abusers, and I reported them to the FBI.
Well, is Facebook doing anything about this?
As far as Facebook goes, the response was, I'd say, sketchy at best. In some cases, I called and emailed the social network on top of reporting dozens of images, but I received no response for a full 2 months. In fact, after numerous child pornography reports to Facebook, the network actually blocked my account due to security reasons. In many cases, the photos I reported were months old and had been viewed and shared by dozens or even hundreds of pedophiles, even though they say they really heavily rely on user reports. Facebook, you know, basically rewarded my conscientious reporting by blocking three of my accounts immediately after I had informed it of dozens of cases of child sexual abuse. So then after 2 months of trying to reach Facebook, they contacted me within 2 hours of publishing the first part of my report. They issued a very brief generic statement that's probably been recycled several times before me, and it answered almost none of my questions. I had an off-the-record conference call with some Facebook executives, and clearly I can't say what we talked about. However, I will say that the response hasn't changed. We are still exactly where we started on this issue. I have received no indication that anything will change, and I've all but begged them to go on the record addressing these problems. They don't want to talk about this issue publicly. I believe to do so would bring even more attention to it, as Facebook's about to go public with its up to $100 billion in valuation on its company when it launches its IPO.
Why hasn't the media gone public on this important topic?
You know, I don't understand why the mainstream media hasn't covered this, other than the fact that maybe it sends them running scared with their tail between their legs. At WND.com, we cover just that news, the stuff you won't read in the mainstream media, but that needs to get out there. People need to know about this sort of thing. It is a huge problem, and it does affect our own children. Well, on this story, I contacted the FBI, the SEC, and I asked them about whether this should be disclosed as a risk factor on Facebook's S-1 filing when it goes public. I also called the FTC, the Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and authorities with the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. And I have to say that the FBI and law enforcement officials were wonderful when it came to removing individual images that I reported, and it usually happened within 24 hours. However, the problem is so big, with thousands of images posted every day on Facebook, that authorities, you know, they can really only pursue the worst of the worst, and they're doing their best. Only Facebook can really, I think, implement the preventative measures to stop this content from being uploaded in the first place. They actually have a software called PhotoDNA that locates a number of child porn images within a national database. But any pedophile who wants to avoid having his photo found by that software and uploads the image onto his Facebook with his cell phone, that photo might stay there for many, many months before it's actually found. Meanwhile, it's traded with hundreds of pedophiles, and it's pretty much out there for good. One other shortcoming of this software is that it doesn't locate and remove child pornography videos, which are being posted on Facebook and shared at an alarming rate.
Well, what can my audience, the Savage Nation, do to help stop this child predation on Facebook?
Well, one thing they can do is go to stopchildpornonfacebook.com. It's interesting that this $100 billion company, they have the resources to handle this. One of the points that I've made to them is that you go to several of the major pornography websites, adult pornography websites, and you won't see this much of an issue with child porn. In fact, many of them don't have major problems at all with child porn because they have a real incentive to keep this junk off their sites because they know they'd be shut down immediately. And those porn sites allow users to upload their content. Perhaps Facebook should get with them and see what they're doing. Of course, you know, that would be acknowledging there's a problem here. But also, you know, the American public, I strongly believe, in addition to going to stopchildpornonfacebook.com, and sending letters to Zuckerberg himself and the board and the management at Facebook, I think there's also other ways to approach this. We really need to put pressure on our lawmakers to investigate this issue. I don't believe enough is being done at this point. So contacting Congress, if you ever see any of these images, please go to IC3.gov. That is the FBI's reporting system. That's a great way to go because it gets images taken care of almost immediately. And we also need to just keep pressuring Facebook. Some people are removing their accounts, but other people are also flooding their offices with communications and signing petitions for this cause.
How can my audience protect themselves and their children from predators like this?
Well, first off, I think one of the smartest things a parent can do is to avoid allowing their young children to even have a Facebook profile in the first place. If your child is 10 years old, it's probably, from what I've seen, not a good idea at all to allow your child to have a Facebook profile to begin with. If your child does have a Facebook profile, it's very important that you check on them, see who they're contacting. Don't let them contact anybody outside of their social circle, and check up on them. You know, make sure that something's being done about this and that they're not getting caught up in this. Unfortunately, it still can happen, and you're taking that risk when you do sign up for Facebook.
Where can we find out more about this story?
You can find out more about this story and other shocking, great news reports from WND.com.
Chelsea Schilling, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. I would advise your listeners to go to WND.com for the rest of this series, and to take action, go to Stop Child Porn on Facebook.com.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Michael in New York on WOR.
Hi, Michael. I just want to make the point that I remember way back when Bush was president, and this relates to your point that even if these agents predated Obama, their activities actually directly stem from his activities. And I remember when Bush was the president.
Well, no, wait. You don't mean that. No, you don't mean the president engaged in the same activities. No one's saying that. What are you referring to?
This is what I mean. When President Bush was president, you weren't allowed to walk into the Oval Office. And when I say you weren't allowed, even the president himself instituted for himself the rule applied. He would not walk into the Oval Office without a tie and a jacket.
Well, right. He was an uptight white man. See, he wasn't loose and down with the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now they wear cutoffs and flip-flops and use skateboards in the East Room. See, that's the real presidency. That's the real presidency of the people, is to wear tank tops, to be seen in shorts in the White House. That's the kind of president America really wanted.
And I remember the first day, actually it was the first day of the administration, the publicly released photo was him just in a shirt. And I remember the newspaper saying, yeah, well, now people will feel more comfortable coming.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The object is to feel more comfortable. That's right.
And
The 49% of pay no taxes can relate to the president. He dresses like them.
I think when the
All right, thanks for the call. I can't do this anymore. I really can't. My mind is already somewhere else. It's unbelievable to me. All they do is tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I started out wearing dead man's pants. I started out with nothing. Everything I've achieved is because I earned it. I didn't take a dime from anybody. And you want to take away every dime I make and give it to some deadbeat drug addict bum? You want me to give them more money? I'd rather give them less money. I'd rather see everybody in America taxed. I'd like to see the poorest worker taxed. I'd like to see the middle person taxed. And I'd like to see the gangsters at the top taxed much more than they're taxed. But don't tell me you're going to tax them. You and I both know that the buffets are never going to get taxed. You know that buffet chooses from the buffet line of tax proposals as to which one he wants Obama to push. And he will only push from the buffet that which taxes him least, not that which taxes him most. And for all of these congressmen, these Democrat frauds, they stink to high heaven. You should pay your fair share. We don't like the rich. It's unbelievable to me. Attacking Romney because he made a living? Attacking Romney because he put a dog on the roof of a car years ago? That's a campaign issue? Not what Obama's doing today? Who listens to them? So, that's it. Pennsylvania, Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say is I agree with everything that you said on before when answering yes to every question that you ask. And even though I don't agree with you every time I listen to you, for some reason I keep coming back to listen to you. But what I wanted to say was this whole thing with the Secret Service agents and with the GSA and that party that they had in Las Vegas.
Right.
I see it goes along with your trickle-down the title on your book, Trickle Down Conspiracy, is it trickles down from the top. The whole crew is out there having a party, just like the president and his several vacations.
His
wife and him flying on two different planes, charging so much money that we're paying for whenever, instead of consolidating and trying to...
It's like a Roman orgy. The Obamas are abusing the American taxpayer and getting away with it. And then there's Hillary laughing with a bottle of beer with her friends in a nightclub at 3 in the morning. That's a Secretary of State's behavior?
Well, no, it's not. But that's what their behavior is. That's what her behavior is. And that's not what it, that's not what the leader of our country, our Secretary of State, the First Lady should be doing. But unfortunately, this is what we have. I voted against them last time whenever he ran against McCain. I thought McCain was the lesser of two evils, and I'm really disgusted with the Republican Party, that I've been a Republican my whole life, and they give me nothing to vote with, nothing to vote for, and they give
I understand. Now, Mike, the screen says you're a retired FBI agent. Is that correct?
That's correct. 25 years.
Okay, so you were in the FBI when it was a whole different culture within the FBI, going almost back to the post-Hoover days, correct?
I started in 1977.
Well, okay, but I'm saying the rules were those of J. Edgar Hoover, correct?
Oh, yes. It was very, very tight. It was very, very well-kept ship.
Right, and no American who was a law-abiding American had to fear the FBI. Nobody I ever knew feared the FBI then. Today, everybody in the news business fears the FBI and DHS and fears every intelligence agency in this country, Mike. This is a change in this country, and it's coming from Obama. He's threatening us. He threatened the Supreme Court. That's why my title, Trickle Down Tyranny, is so darn important, Mike. One other thing I want to mention before I send you a copy of the book. You prefaced your call to this show by saying you listen to me, even though you don't agree with me most of the time, right? But you listen to me and you don't know why you keep coming back. And that is because much of what I say is shocking, and you are a man trained to control your emotional outlets, to control your emotional thinking. I know what I'm saying. And so, therefore, when you hear a man with an outburst like this, but he's right, it's hard to listen to him because you can't believe that I'm right. But the more you listen to me, the more you realize it resonates with your own inner thinking. Am I right about that?
You're right about that.
Well, Mike, let's not go any further. I don't want to put you into a state where you have any, anxiety or this. I'm not here to make anyone uncomfortable other than the voter. But everything you said is true, Michael, and I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Ernie in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your anger is quite merited, and I can see the frustration in your voice. The thing that I was calling about was about why I find you so appealing, which is your clarity of thought. I mean, you are not trained as an attorney, but clearly you think like one. And yeah,
unfortunately, you're correct. Well, let's talk about that first. It's an interesting statement. You're obviously an attorney, but you see, if anything, law school, if it prepares someone for anything at all, it's clear thinking. By the way, let's put aside all of the jokes and the moral judgments and my egregious statements about lawyers. Law school sharpens a person's mind. It should make one think much more clearly about everything that they write, for example, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but so does science. And one of the first rules I learned in my training as a young scientist was that science writing requires the most succinct use of words. In other words, fewer words are better than more words. So that sharpens your thinking. You don't waste words in a science paper any more than you should in a legal brief. Unfortunately, those rules no longer apply, whether it be in science or in law. You know, there's an awful lot of wasted rhetoric.
Exactly. And the thing that I wanted to point out to you tonight, because of what I perceive to be somewhat clouded thinking, and it's a rarity for you, is that you're missing the point with regards to Romney and the media. You're right. The media is controlling things to a great extent. I mean, people think that the pipeline is really about environmentalists pushing Obama in a direction rather than, as you put it, buffet, which is the real reason we don't have the pipeline. by the way, because he owns the railroad.
Well, we know that Buffet didn't want the pipeline because he controls the trains that bring the oil. And, of course, Buffet killed the pipeline, and his puppet in the White House killed the pipeline for him. But what's your main point? Where do I have it wrong? Tell me where I have it wrong.
Well, you remember Marshall McLuhan saying the media is a message? Well, that's sort of what we have here. Romney is not saying anything because no one is allowing him to say anything. I mean, where
is... See, this is where you're wrong. You've just hung yourself by your own petard, counselor, because you accuse me of having clouded thinking when it's you who just made a statement that's completely false. You said the media ignores Romney, right?
No, not necessarily.
Wait a minute. That's what you just said. The media, you can't blame Romney because they're ignoring him, right?
Ignoring his message.
Okay. How do you explain him ignoring the Savage Nation? You're going to blame the media for that?
No, his handlers, obviously. They're saying...
Well, so don't blame the media. Romney himself refuses to face the largest independent audience in America. So you can't blame the media for that?
No, that's his fault. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
Yeah, and by the way, if Romney can't see around his handlers, he'd make a terrible president.
That's a good point. Yeah,
look, McCain was run by those handlers right off the highway. And I see the same thing happening to Romney, which is why I try every day to criticize him, because I'm praying it will break through to one of his sons or one of his handlers that we do know what he's doing, and he is not doing himself a favor by ignoring the single largest independent audience of voters in the country.
It's a mistake, but not a fatal flaw. I mean, the fact that he doesn't go on your program, I think, is a mistake, because he has an audience that could be receptive to what he has to say, but the fact that he doesn't go doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, a bad president. I don't think.
I didn't say he'd be a bad president. What I said was, if he's not smart enough to see around his advisors, then he may not be smart enough to be the president of the United States.
Savage.